Amanda Grace and Donna Clement, it is great to have you back. The last time we talked, it was before the election, and we talked about the assassination attempt. We talked about a lot of different things, specifically commentary about Kim Clement, Donna, your father, his prophetic words that he's released. And we're going to look at some of those in just a moment. But we also have some prophetic words for what's coming as well. And so, ladies, thank you so much for joining me today here on Charisma. Let's just start with some of these prophetic words that we've seen kind of unfold. And before we get into that, I'd love to hear some of the reactions that you guys had. Amanda, we'll start with you since we've seen the fulfillment of some of these prophetic words.
I have to tell you, it's been incredible to watch. The night of the election, we broadcasted live. I know Donna did too, till 2 a.m. when they called Pennsylvania. And it was just this, it was such an incredible prophetic moment where you felt the Lord has just taken Satan's trophy case and smashed it to smithereens before the nation. It's just been something so incredible that we have been honored to be a part of. All glory be to God, and have others as well, for others to see these prophecies come to pass. You know, that we've stood on, that we've delivered, that we've done, for them to see it. It was just so important, I think, for the body of Christ to see that in this moment.
Yeah, Donna, what did you take away from that?
Well, just to sort of expound on what Amanda's saying, is it really was such a beautiful way in which it was fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Because we had those prophecies, and with the ability of sharing things the way we can today with social media, where something can be looked at immediately, like Amanda said, she was streaming it live. You know, we didn't have that ability to do that. Even back in 2016, it wasn't like that. After the 2020 election, of course, my dad had prophesied two terms. And so when 2020 happened, it really threw me, and it did a lot of people. But I just knew in my heart, and also because Dad had prophesied so accurately, and there were things that helped sort of carry us through that. One of them being him prophesying about Rudy Giuliani. He prophesied in 2013 that Rudy Giuliani, he said, though they have mocked you, I will make you a watchman in this nation again. And he was, as soon as that 2020 election and Fox announced for Biden and we knew they were cheating, there was Rudy Giuliani. So I knew to follow Rudy. And from following Rudy, I could see, no, this was definitely cheating in this election. Mm-hmm. So the people that stuck with us at the House of Destiny at Kim Clements Ministries, because a lot of people were like, oh, well, he's a false prophet. They love to say that. It did look like, you know, what would happen, but I just knew it. I just knew it in my heart that he was going to run again. Cause at that point we didn't even know if he would run again. And so to see that, we carried that 4 years, we just kept encouraging people. And then of course he announced he was going to run again and then campaigning. And it was just so beautiful to see when it wasn't just, you know, because a lot of us worried, you know, is there going to be questions about this election again? I mean, it was such an easy win. And then to see what happened to Trump with the assassination attempt, where he got shot and God moved his head just enough that it wouldn't kill him. And that, you know, and you saw Trump coming out and saying, God saved me, like publicly making that statement. And then to have the true red wave, you know, in 2022, people were like, it's going to be a red wave. And then it wasn't. To have that actually really happen, that means enough Americans woke up and went and voted. And it was just the most, it was like Christmas. It was like early Christmas. It was the most rewarding, most beautiful thing. And it was fulfilled. And then I just was so proud of my dad. I know you can see it from heaven, but I was just so proud of him too, and our team too, and everybody that stuck with us, all the Reawaken America, Amanda Grace and Clay Clark and everybody who believed in it, because they could see the track record there and we could see the path forward. But to have that moment, I'll never forget it. And I think nobody alive will ever forget the election.
Yeah. Or the campaign as a whole. I mean, yeah, there was so many classic moments in that, from everything from the assassination attempts, and the rally in Butler is the most noted for that. But also you had things where you have RFK, you know, shaking hands with Donald Trump at, you know, when all the fireworks and stuff going off behind them, and just creating this unity, or should I say American party. I think that might be something that we can look into in just a moment. But, you know, just seeing, even Donald Trump, you know, running the fryer at McDonald's, or, you know, putting on the garbage outfit, the garbage collector outfit. And it's just like, this was a very interesting and very entertaining for sure. Yeah. But prophetically, looking at these signposts that we've had from these prophetic words, I think it's, you just mentioned your father, Donnie, looking down from heaven and just being like, I can just kind of imagine him saying, oh, this is what you told me was going to happen, and this is how it's actually happening. Oh, you know, like putting all those pieces together. I would have loved to seen his face in heaven with these things, with that. But let's just take a moment, and I want to play a couple clips and about that initial prophetic word about the two terms.
Now God says a president that I will bring into the White House, and they will say he is ungodly. He does not know God. But even as Jesus disguised himself for the great feast, so I have disguised this man's heart. And when he comes to the White House, not only shall he be mine, but he shall pray as a man that has never prayed in the White House. Is anybody excited about this? That same man says the Spirit of God shall put his feet onto this platform. And God says they will say, how did this take place? Laws shall change. Young men and young women shall have access into the kingdom, and with authority into politics, and with authority into the industries that now have been controlled by darkness, because of this man that shall rule for another two terms. For two terms, God said, do not fear. For the Lord says there will be no unnecessary stuff. But there will be things that men shall question. Fear not, for he shall sit in that seat, and suddenly my spirit shall come upon him and baptize him with a fire and with anointing, says the Spirit of the Lord. Come on!
Wow.
No more war. 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 Come on.
Wow. okay, so there was a few things in there. And I originally planned to kind of like stop it, but I just kind of like stop and comment throughout there. But like, you just kind of can't. I mean, like, okay, so he was talking about two terms. Of course, that one's kind of the most famous. But okay, no more war. Young people would have access. And what we're seeing right now with, I think, the Trump appointments is we're seeing a lot of them are younger. They are not. They're not part of the in crowd, but they're younger. And does it sound like he's also talking about the Department of Government Efficiency in there too? Cutting. Yeah. What's your takeaways from this now that we have some more, hindsight?
Well, you heard him say there's things that men will question, but fear not. Mm-hmm. And there's other prophecies where he talks about the young people taking over the internet, 2013-ish. He was prophesying about young people and what they would do and how, like I said, they would take over the internet. And we see a system that is corrupt, and it's full of old people, which is nothing wrong with being old, but an old mindset. And there's a whole new thing that is being born, that is being birthed. We've seen we've been experiencing the labor of that, the pains of that. And with, you know, if you think about giving birth, you know, it's a painful process that ends with something beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it kind of seems to me like that's sort of the thing he's describing, that you have a changing of the guard is something else he prophesied over and over again. It was a changing of the guard and something new. And so as we've seen technology advancing very quickly, we have to be able to move with that, not be afraid of it. You know, like when the internet first came out, they're like, oh, www is the 666. And maybe it is. But the thing about it, because it's probably is through these systems that we will eventually see the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. We know that that's coming. However, in the meantime, we need to be occupying. We need to be busy. We can't be sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back. We want him to come back. We see the time is coming. But there is a generation. There's another prophecy, and I've just pulled it last night from, I think, also 2013. And my dad said, there will be no World War III, or there will be no World War yet. He's talking about World War III. He said, because I am yet to show you the manifestation of a rock in the hand of a generation. Mm-hmm. And so God is doing something with the young people. You know, they've had this indoctrination and this force. Now, anytime you notice when young people are forced to do something, what do? They rebel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they've been forced into a very far left liberal ideology and lifestyle. And because it has been so forced, to rebel from that would be to be conservative. And Christian is kind of like being a rebel now. That's the cool thing. And so you see that the young people are turning away from, you know, when I was growing up in the 90s, it was like drugs and how many rock stars do we see die from drug overdoses?
Oh, so many.
And and things like that. Those, it's changing to where you have a generation of kids who don't want to live that way because they've been were sort of forced in the other direction. Yeah. And so it's a balancing out that I see happening, and it's very exciting. Especially my dad was so about the young people and the next generation, and he saw, at the time that he was prophesying these things, especially if you look at 2007, that was a big year for him. And you would think, oh, well, in 2007, that was right before Obama, but he had already been prophesying about Obama years before that, that there would be the first African-American president and things like that. So he was, at that point, we were already there. So then he was seeing further. And if you notice, there's a 10 years between 2007 and 2017, when Trump was inaugurated the first time. So I see a pattern of that 10-year, not all the time, but there is that pattern. And in 2007, he got a lot. There's two prophecies where he saw two terms. He saw the wall. He saw the economy. He saw Newsweek and Time Magazine and The View will say what I want them to say. And if you look across social media this past week, you've seen the headlines and you've seen how people are like, oh, we can't wait to watch The View to see what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible that all the way in 2007, he was seeing now. And and that is how prophecy works. It's not going to be, you know, you'll be prophesying in the moment. And he did a lot of those, you know, for like Hurricane Katrina was one of those. The earthquake in Japan was another one. But most of the time, prophecy is going to be, you know, prophets will stretch their eyes. And so when they prophesy it in the moment, people often don't understand it.
Right, right.
But that promise and that word from God has been planted in your heart and in your memory so that when you see it manifesting in front of you, you know, okay, this is right. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the right direction because it's been prophesied. Yeah. And so it's been very interesting to watch this for me, how this has unfolded, because this is unprecedented.
Yeah, really. Definitely. Amanda, what's your response to these prophetic words? I know God speaks to you a special way as well. So I don't want to, ever just, you know, look at one and not the other, but like you as somebody that also hears from the Lord and speaks for the Lord, how do you look at some of these prophecies and compare it to maybe even some of the things that God's been speaking to you as well?
Well, you know, it's amazing because when this was being spoken back when it was, right, in 2007, I believe we were coming into the second term of Obama. So we were on the cusp of Obama.
The
first term of Obama. So it was interesting that this was being spoken during that time because truly Trump was the antithesis of what Obama was. So it's just very interesting sometimes the timing of God. And it's amazing to watch back then what was said for now and to see how it has unfolded. And I am aware of that. And I'm aware of a few other of the prophecies Kim Clement has given surrounding this. And it was interesting because there were ones I wasn't aware of that then I would release something the Lord had given me. And then Don A would say, oh my gosh, Amanda, this is what my dad had said there. And I said, oh my gosh, well, praise God, you know, confirmation.
And
it works that way also, prophecy, where, you know, when the Lord is speaking, right, and those that hold the prophetic office are hearing clearly, there will be confirmations of words as well, so the people continue to pray into those words. Otherwise, yes, they will fall off with those words. And we are meant to pray into those when the Lord releases them. And so watching it come to pass has been something amazing. And it's been something amazing to watch. The night it happened, I had texted Donna and I said, your father is rejoicing in heaven right now, and I had written her. And so to be a part of that with them, you know, because I wear it all the time as well, because I wear the mantle that she put on me from her dad, to just watch how it all unfolded was an honor, and it was amazing. And to watch what the Lord had given me to speak over time, right? Kennedy was one of them. Now, I wasn't aware of the in-depth prophecy that he had given about Kennedy, Kim Clement. But I remember May 6, 2024, the Lord had me speak in a word, break the curse, O Kennedy, come out from among them. Now is your chance. So it's either now or never. The Lord was giving him a window to break the curse, his family's curse that's been upon that name. Come out from among them. Now is your chance. And so it was, and then watching how that all unfolded so quickly.
Yeah.
Was amazing to watch.
Now, just in regards of the Kennedys, I do have a clip of Kim Clement's word about that. But I find it interesting that Robert Kennedy Jr., his focus is health. And his kind of his addition to make America great again is to make America healthy again. What do you feel God's saying about the health of our nation?
Oh, that's interesting. If Donna wants to take it first, I'll let her take it first.
All right.
I'll answer.
Well, I can, yes. Well, because, you know, Dad was seeing something in the air. I have a number of prophecies where he was seeing that. And I just want to say also to Amanda's point about the Kennedys, we didn't actually find what he had prophesied about Kennedy. I know the one you have here today, we had found that one. I know Amanda didn't know about that one, though. But I had found another one after the assassination attempt in July. So Amanda was picking it up. Now, something that my dad kept saying was that I'm not going to be the only prophet, that God is going to start to raise up more and more prophetic voices. And we've seen that so much, especially in the last few years. You've seen people like Amanda. I mean, Amanda, you've been around longer than a few years, but I'm just saying, come to prominence. And Dad was seeing that happen. And when my dad died, the night that he died, God gave me a vision of, he used to wear these blue mantles. He had these blue garden mantles. Mm-hmm. He called them from the garden because he used to pray in his garden, and he made them. Everybody wanted one. He was just giving them away. And I saw them raining down. because I saw that God would be doing a new, not a new thing, but the need for the prophetic and us understanding it. My dad saw the warriors of the new millennium in 1993. He prophesied about that. And he said there would be unusual people. They would not be the kind of Christians you'd expect. They'd be tattooed. They'd look rough. They'd be scarred. They would be warriors. And, you know, something I keep saying about this experience, too, is that God wasn't going to do it for us. He wanted to do this with us.
Amen.
Mm.
And so it's very important that we, as Christians, are listening to him and hearing his voice and know how to do that. You know, there's huge sects of Christianity that don't even believe in the prophetic. They don't even understand it at all. They don't believe it exists. And it's a terrible deception because the enemy has been able to use that to keep Christians silent and complacent. And the prophetic, that anointing makes a boldness in you. Because you can see what is right and you can see what is God's will. And when something's going against that, your instinct is to know that is not what God said. This is what God wants. This is his will. So the first thing we need to do is to be able to know what that is and not by relying on others. You know, we need prophets. We needed my dad. We need Amanda. We need people guiding things, but we need to be able to hear him ourselves so that we're not dependent. You know, because I made the point the other day of, I'm not going to say his name. People got upset with me. But there was, back in the 80s, there was a very famous televangelist who fell. We'll just say it that way. And it had a terrible effect on the people who, he was very well known, and the people who knew him. Now, God bless him. He's forgiven. God forgives him. We forgive him. It's not about him. But it, we cannot be so reliant on a person.
Amen.
Even my dad, that when something goes wrong with that person, we lose our, you know, that can't be our foundation. Our foundation has to be on the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. That's the rock my dad was talking about in the hand of the generation. And so to be grounded in that is very important for us to be able to combat this enemy that we face, which is overwhelming. My dad saw them as giants. That we would have these giants to slay, and that the spirit of King David being upon Donald Trump and the person who will be after him, because there's going to be someone after him. That spirit of King David, that warrior who worships and will build an altar for God, that spirit is what needs to be upon us in order to overcome this. And God has given us so much through the prophetic. So yes, Amanda was seeing Kennedy, and I didn't even know until after the assassination attempt about what he had prophesied from Chicago, which we don't have that here today, but he said he saw the Kennedys again. He was in Chicago. It was 2009. And the date was actually August 29th, I think. And I believe that RFK Jr. endorsed Trump on like the 26th of August. So it was almost 15 years to the day. And Dad saw the Kennedy family, and he said, God is going to use the Kennedy family, and he's going to join the hands of Republicans and Democrats in an unusual way to overcome what he saw as being an evil plot to steal from the people via the taxes. And that America would rise to the occasion and come to oneness with God. That was in that prophecy from Chicago in 2009. And that I found afterwards as well, which was stunning. I played that at the final Reawaken America tour. Amanda was on stage with me, and I played that one there. And when people see that, then you know, okay, what is happening is, because, you know, people looking at RFK Jr. like, man, this guy's pro-abortion. He's got all these other issues. But we've seen how Trump has put him in his lane, because Trump's the boss, and he's a boss. And that's what we need. And he knows how to delegate, because he's been doing this his whole life. And so he knew to delegate RFK into the right lane, which is that health lane, which is bringing up how we have been attacked through big pharma, through the vaccines. There's corruption there. There's people who are making money off of our health, And so other things that Dad prophesied about were the rise of a Fourth Reich and comparable to things that happened in World War II, and what was Mengele doing with experiments on children and on human beings, and the Nuremberg Code. I mean, you can go into this. It gets very deep. And we've seen that, through COVID, it exposed a lot of this stuff. And RFK Jr. has been on that for years. I remember 10, 15 years ago hearing him talk and thinking, what's wrong with his voice? And what is he talking about? Like, this guy's nuts. But he wasn't.
No.
And so God's using the gift that he put in him. And there's a reconciliation that has been so needed for the Kennedy family because of the deaths.
That's the when the Lord said, break the curse. Oh, Kennedy, that's what the Lord was talking about.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the enemy took them out because they were facing the same thing, just in a different time back then. And the enemy won then. And the enemy is both within and out, is something my dad saw as well. And so that would go Amanda, on and on.
Amanda, what's your take on the Make America Healthy Again?
You know, what was so interesting about this is that I think in him saying that, it's got a twofold meaning here that he may not realize the fullness of yet, but the Lord has Robert Kennedy Jr. on a road to do that. Because if we'll remember, when in 2020, now this starts in 2020, this, what I'm about to tell you, when Biden says that this is a battle for the soul of the nation, right? 2020, I believe, is around the first time that we heard this. And then it came back in 2024. And now, you know, I thought to myself, well, if the Lord can speak through the mouth of a donkey, I guess, okay, you know, we get, like, as Kim Clement would say, right words, wrong breath. But so basically, the soul of the nation was sick. Hmm. And the soul of the nation was made sick by various, okay, wicked avenues that the enemy exploited, including the drug industry, right? Including the medical industry, including doctrines of devils, including rogue members of the government, including spiritually ripping the mat out from under America, starting with taking prayer out of school and the battle for abortion, which both started in New York State, and marching forth from there. And so this has a Make America Healthy Again. We're talking about physical health and spiritual health.
Amen.
Both. This is a two-fold issue that we're marching forth in right now to rectify. Because John himself said, I believe it was John, beloved, I wish above all that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the battle for the soul of the nation and to deliver the soul of the nation, which we're seeing happen, directly ties to the physical wellness.
Yeah. Of people. Wow.
Praise God.
Wow. That's just, praise God.
I'm talking and it's just shooting out of my mouth.
I like that. That's great. That's great. Well, let's take a listen to this this word about the Kennedys.
And God said, it shall come to pass that I will take a man of Irish descent again and place him in the White House. This is years to come. But God said that John F. Kennedy, that once was to be great, but God said now another as a John F. Kennedy, but with uprightness, with morality, and with great strength of leadership. And they shall say, it is JFK reincarnated. And God said, I will laugh at your psychics, for the prophet spoke in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, long before it happened, that this shall be a sign to this nation, that what took place in the 60s and what was supposed to take place will take place in the teens of the 2000s, of 2015 and 2016.
So the Kennedys is a big portion of that, and a reincarnated, they would say, who's a reincarnated John F. Kennedy Jr. or John F. Kennedy. That seems a little bit weird to me. Help me and help us understand that symbolism there.
Well, that was a little bit weird to me too, but I think what he was seeing was what I was trying to express earlier, is what was, and he said that what was not dealt with in the 60s It's going to be dealt with, and it would start in the teens of the 2000s. He actually said 2015-16. And this is when it all started, when Trump came down that escalator. Mm. And when you hear him say a Kennedy in the White House, you might think as president. People always assume that. But that's in the White House doesn't mean as president. It means as part of the administration, which is so important.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't saying he was going to be president, but he was seeing that, like I said before, this reconciliation of what was done wrong there. And it wasn't just done to the Kennedys. It was done to America.
Yes.
And so there's all of this that needs to be healed. Like Amanda just articulated, it's not just physical health, it's spiritual health as well. And God will be ministering to and dealing with the hearts of these men and women that he's put there now, because now there's a lot on them to deliver. But God chose these people, or I don't want to even say chose, I want to say made them for this. So their whole life experiences were coming up to a culmination of this moment that would not only save America, but all of Western civilization and the rest of the world, because that's how it goes. That's how, you know, whatever happens in America, it affects the rest of the world. That's why all eyes were on America on that election day, because they knew, I'm from South Africa. I'm a legal immigrant. We did it the right way. But I know what it's like to be from another country where you don't have a voice. You don't have the freedoms you have here. And to see whatever happens in America, it's going to affect us. And I have family all over the world that were just on the phone and worrying and so relieved when he won. I'm sorry about the dog. He's agreeing with us.
My dog can come in. Fred's barking. We're good.
It's all good. Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. There's so much more I want to talk about. I've got another clip, and then we want to talk about some of the things that were forward looking too. I mean, so much of what we talked about has been the excitement of looking at prophetic fulfillment, or even like the beginnings of prophetic fulfillment for some of these things too. But this one, Kim gave a word about the American Party, and I think that is describing what is happening right now.
There's an American Party that's emerging, a party that's going to outdo the Republicans and the Democrats, a party that's going to stand up for what is right. Of course, they'll have flaws, you can see the disintegration of and the discord that's taking place in this nation. That's coming to an end. Maybe it'll take longer than you think, but it's there. It's like John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth, leaping when Christ comes into his presence in the womb of Mary. What made him leap? The presence of Christ. Listen, that's important, because they weren't born yet. There are unborn things at this very moment that we need to realize, even though you cannot see them, they are present. You cannot see a child except for the fact that you can hear the heartbeat nowadays, and you can see the mother growing and so on. But you wouldn't know. But there are things present today that are not yet manifest, that will yet come, and it takes a prophetic eye to know what they are.
That prophetic eye to know what they are. And talking about that American Party that is bigger than, or, you know, it's not the Democrats, not the Republicans, it's kind of bigger than that. And what we've seen in this last election, we've seen the Democrat Party really kind of dismantle because they've gone so far woke. And we've seen the establishment in the Republican Party really kind of lose their power too. And now it is this populist uprising with people desiring to make America great and make America healthy. And so, Amanda, what is your takeaway from this? And what is God saying to you about this next stage?
So it's interesting, because I remember the Lord had said two things to me that right before this happened, that has to do with what's coming. And one of the things he said is America has been placed upon the block of slaves, and your those in the government are the ones, and those who want to be in office, meaning on the side of the Democrats as well, want to basically sell you to the nations of the earth that hate me and hate my son. And he said, I am nullifying that sale. That he was going to nullify it, that Almighty God was going to. And then he had also warned that we had entered a valley, and I believe it was June 8th. It was a month and a half before the assassination attempt in Butler. I was the political backdraft word, and I gave it from Detroit. I delivered it from Detroit, Michigan, which is interesting given what happened in Michigan. And it was talking about this enormous political backdraft we were about to witness in this nation. But in it, he talked about we were entering a very treacherous valley. And I remember he had said a couple of things about this valley, that first of all, if part of the church wanted to die in that valley, then continue on, my little flock. So that was number one, because of what was being spoken by half of the church through this. And then secondly, that this treacherous part of the valley that the Lord would have to navigate us through, and it would extend beyond the election. So this, we're still in it. We're still in this treacherous part of the valley right now, right? God has navigated us through one treacherous part of it, but we've got a few more treacherous parts of it to go through this valley right now. And so I had kept saying that 2024 was the year of Joshua 24, choose this day, right, whom you will serve. And going into, coming into this year, it's 5785 on the Jewish calendar. Right. And so five is hey in the Hebrew calendar. Right. It is grace. It is behold, like an announcement. It also stands for grace. But then you've got seven, which is Zayin, which means sword. It means sword. And eight means life. So grace from the sword brings life, which is what a treacherous valley is. And that's the year we are entering. And it's a double grace. See, God has extended. This was the election of Romans 11:5, the election of grace. This is what it was. And so God has extended that grace to us in this valley. However, if we choose in the valley, if the those that have been placed in government right now, that are being placed in government right now, choose to be disobedient in this valley, and not welcome the Lord into the government in his proper place where he belongs, we will see a cycle of 2020 repeat that will be far worse than what happened in 2020. We will see that cycle repeat. That spirit of lawlessness right now is looking for a way in. When Hindenburg won the election against Hitler, because he painted Hitler as a dangerous extremist, which is what Hitler was, right, at the time. He was a dangerous, dangerous extremist. Because of pressure, he appointed Hitler as chancellor. And there the door got opened. The door got opened in order for lawlessness to come in and try to hijack a nation that the Lord was attempting to save for the sake of his people. So this is what we're heading into. We have won an incredible battle. The war is not over.
Right, right.
There are many battles to be fought on the hill right now.
Yes.
In this nation.
Absolutely. That's wow. my goodness, this was the election of grace. That was that's the powerful. I'm just processing that right now because I definitely feel that. And I know anybody that's watching that and they are watching this and they feel that as well, just let us know in the comments that you agree with that, because I definitely feel that grace. But these appointments right now, as you were talking about the chancellor or Hitler being appointed the chancellor, that changed everything in Germany. And we need to be praying now for Trump's picks that he is putting around him. And I just got a notification that it hasn't been made official, but it is like it. I've seen a lot of people that have been announcing Trump's picks. They put up that RFK is going to be the Health and Human Services director. And so that definitely fits with what with that whole Make America Healthy thing, Make America Healthy Again mandate is. There's a couple of things that we've talked about earlier I don't want to forget to bring up. I know you mentioned about the Donna, you mentioned about David. You know, there's this kind of the spirit of David that would be on him now, but also his successor. And I just did a quick search. I wonder what the D stood for in J.D. Vance, and his name is James David. Vance. So coincidence? I don't know. I don't think so. I think there's something about that for sure. But the one word that we looked at that that Prophet Kim shared was that there would be a spirit come upon him when he sits in that seat, and there would be prayer come forth. Now, I know that Trump loves receiving prayer, but I personally have yet to see him actually speak out in prayer. And I'm believing for the fulfillment of that and seeing that burst out of him and really see a change in that. What's Amanda, what's your thoughts about Trump being, I know he loves prayer, but what do you think about him praying?
You know, I believe we are going to see that happen. And, you know, when what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania happened, right? Which is interesting because Butler, the name Butler can be viewed as cupbearer if you look back to its ancient roots. But when Trump hit the ground, when the Lord, you know, this Trump and this whole nation just went through a Psalm 23 experience. Though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, right? Right? If we look at it that way, it was the rod of God that smacked him and like, get down on the floor, you know, as a shepherd would with his sheep, down, because he was trying to keep him alive in that moment. But when he hit the ground, I believe the fear of the Lord filled him. It was the fear of the Lord. There was no amount of money, secret service that could have protected him in that moment. It was Almighty God. And it was the Lord showing him, you need me. And the fear of the Lord filled him. Now, what does that have to do with now? What it has to do with now is for the Holy Spirit to fully enter and for him to become a praying president. The fear of the Lord had to fill him first, which it has. So now that door has been unlocked in this time, in this term, for him to actually become a praying president and a president that brings this nation into an Ezra moment. When Ezra stood before the people and he called them in and he renewed the covenant with them, and they renewed the covenant together before God after the nation had been ransacked because of its rebellion, and they were rebuilding the nation. They were going through this Nehemiah moment in the nation, and they were going through an Ezra moment right now in the nation. And this is what we are going to see, not only coming and entering in this time, because you're going to have the Tobias and you're going to have the Sanballats coming and trying to come in and give stop work orders. But in the middle of that, right, that Ezra moment will come forth from President Trump.
That resonates with me so much. I've been literally reading through Nehemiah recently, even just yesterday, I finished that book. Just really since the election, I felt, read Nehemiah. This is a rebuilding time. I felt like that was a prophetic thing. And when you just said Nehemiah moment, and that's what God spoke to me, that this is a Nehemiah moment, that we are, I love that Nehemiah had, first and foremost, it was a book about rebuilding a wall, rebuilding the temple, rebuilding things that were torn down and destroyed, but doing it faster than everybody anticipated and doing it amongst opposition. And he had his workers, you know, one hand was working, the other hand was ready with a sword. And so, like, yeah, we need to build things up, but we also need to be ready to fight too. And that's what I was kind of taking away from this. You know, you mentioned earlier that you have a prayer meeting that's coming up, like a big prayer gathering. And this is kind of forward thinking and moving into the future of like what God has us to do, because we can't just rest on our laurels and say, hey, we won on November 5th and now everything is going to be good. I think that's one of the mistakes that the church made in 2016. Is that we let off the gas. We kind of pulled back and we weren't praying as much. I mean, we did so much praying against praying against Hillary getting into the White House that I think we just kind of let off that. And I thought that people were afraid of what Trump was going to do and they would be praying for him. And we didn't see that as much, but I think we're seeing some of that stuff now. Tell me about what God is speaking about this prayer movement and how we as the body of Christ need to move forward.
Well, we had the night of prayer multiple times for the nation and the Trump family. Donna was a part of all of them. And prayer is a weapon. The fervent effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. If one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, how much more can hundreds of thousands and millions do? And it is going to take that move of prayer and intercession before God's courts going through this whole time for those stop work orders not to come to pass. And this is the truth. It is going to take prayer. It is a weapon. It is death and life are in the power of the tongue, according to the word of God. And we should be praying even more now that Donald Trump has won with the territory we are now entering. This is not the time, like you were saying, to let up on the gas. This is the time. It's going 57-85. It's flanked by fives. It's a year of double, right? So double the prayer should be going forth, because that is what stops the onslaught of the enemy. That's what exposes his plans. That's what reveals the strategy to dismantle them. That's what gives God's people the instruction as the standard in the nation of what to do. And that is what, you know, keeps the enemy from fully devouring his prey. And so when we choose not to do that, and we choose to come back down to lukewarm, the nation suffers. So the prayer has to come to a boil in this time. Literally, God would rather have us be hot or cold, because the lukewarm he spits out of his mouth. We have to run hot right now. The fire of God and that prayer has to burn in the nation, which will trigger an incredible renewal that will bring the great revival across this nation.
Amen. Amen. Donna, what are your thoughts about that?
I absolutely 100% agree. You know, we've had a very big victory, and so we're sort of elated and excited, and we've seen prophecy fulfilled, but we cannot become complacent, because you made a very good point about 2016. You know, it can't be Hillary. And I, of course, knew my dad had prophesied Trump. 2016, up until November, my dad was still alive. And so that was, I remember that time so well. But and it's so true about when two or more are gathered. Now, what I witnessed with my dad and his prophetic gift is that as soon as he went online, he was one of the first ministries ever to go live on the internet. It was like 2007, I think they did it the first time. And he was very uncomfortable being in front of the camera. He didn't like it, but my mother made him do it. And I'm so glad she did, because what would happen is, especially that it was live, just like Amanda's night of prayer is alive, is that when you have people, that many people gathering together and praying together, it doesn't matter if you're in the same room or not, miracles begin to happen. What you see the precision. Sorry again about the dog. He's amening over there. But with the precision that you saw come from my dad, that started to happen more and more because people were watching him live. And if you ever watch him, you'll see him say, "Pray with me, pray with me, pray with me." He was always asking that, because the more people agreed with him and pressed in the moment, the more he was able to see. And so that's why it's so important when Amanda does a night of prayer, join in and pray with. Don't just observe, pray with. Because what will happen is that prophetic gift in her will begin to have more precision, and she'll just going to get better and better and better and see more and more and more. And so that's our responsibility as the body, is to see, okay, this is what God's doing. This is where he's using people. We can see the fruit. We can see the fulfillment. And now we need to press in together, because yes, Amanda is right. We have had a victory, but it is not over. We are still in a war. And I'm very concerned at how quiet the other side has been. I feel like they're scheming and scamming, as they always do. And this is not flesh and blood. This is principality and power. We must remember that too. As more people wake up, like Tulsi and RFK, we must welcome them. We must forgive them. We must guide them. We must help them. But we know that the enemy is still, unfortunately, captured many, many minds and souls. And people are so deceived that women are shaving their heads and putting on their blue bracelets and throwing their little tantrums. And they don't understand who they're actually representing. And it's simply out of a lack of knowledge and understanding of who their God is. And so it is so important, not only that we pray, that we're united. We have this social media now where we can do this, where you can get millions of people across the world to be together, even though they're not physically in the same place. We're still in the same place here. And we can gather in his name and ask him, and whatever we ask for, he's going to give us if it is his will. And so I think that it is an incredible time we're coming into, an incredible season, but it is not going to be without a battle and a fight, and we cannot be complacent. We must be even more ready to fight.
Yeah, there's actually still some recounts that are going on, and one of the ones that just before we started this conversation, I've been following, because I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and seeing what is happening there right now, where you have a declared senator-elect in McCormick, and you have an incumbent that does not want to let go of their seat with Bob Casey, and like they just keep allowing this recount. And I literally just heard, I didn't pull up the clip, but one of the officials saying it doesn't matter what the court said. It doesn't matter what the court said that you can't count this. They're just going to do it anyway. And I'm paraphrasing. Don't take me, I'm not quoting that directly, but it was scary that somebody has such disregard for the law and they are going to keep counting. And this happened in Bucks County, which was that area flipped. But we as Christians need to keep praying. I wonder what would have happened if we would have kept praying after the election on Tuesday night for the Senate elections in Nevada and Arizona.
Carrie Lake, yes.
Yes, because I believe that the God has a big plan for both Sam Brown and Carrie Lake, but are we seeing a different result because we let off the gas? I don't know. That's only between those. That's the Lord will know that. But there's things that we can do to make that right, and that we need to pray right now, because we can't lose a seat in the Senate. Like, that would not be a good thing if all of a sudden they get another 30,000 votes that could just appear out of nowhere. We need to pray for that. And as we're wrapping up here right now, Amanda, would you pray? And I want to encourage everybody to join with us. Comment in the comments that you're praying with us. And as Donay was saying earlier, like, pray with us, because there is a power with that, and it's like focusing that prayer and that power. And as you were describing how Kim, whenever he first went online and people were praying, you could feel it, you can sense it. And yes, this is recorded, but that anointing and that power carries with it. So Amanda, would you pray with us, or would you lead us in prayer right now?
Absolutely. I would be happy to. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day, Lord. Father, we praise you that we are here gathered together, Lord. Your word says, if two or more are gathered together, that there you are in the midst, Father God. Lord, and we welcome your presence in right now, Father God, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to fill this place, Father God. Father, we just humble ourselves before you right now, asking you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. We acknowledge the immense sacrifice your Son Jesus Christ made for us at Calvary. He was beaten, bruised, crushed, and pierced for our sin and iniquities. He bled when he was beaten. He bled when he was nailed to a cross. That blood sprinkled onto the mercy seat. We were purchased and redeemed with the highest price by his own precious blood. And that he rose again miraculously in 3 days. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy, Father God, before all of creation. And when he miraculously rose again, and he took his rightful place at your right hand, Father God, ruling and reigning forevermore, he became our advocate without ceasing before your throne, and he became the name above all names. And Lord, we praise you for that in this time, that name carries power, more power than anything the kingdom of darkness, any power, principality, or might could ever try to conjure. The name of Jesus Christ is what makes the kingdom of darkness tremble. It's what makes the enemy flee. And we praise you, Father God, that in this time, Lord, the authority of the believer is being activated, Father God, over the church, that it's not just something they hear, Lord. It's not just something that they have thought about in passing, Father God, but the true authority of the believer is being activated to trample upon serpents and scorpions and against all the power of the enemy. So nothing shall by any means hurt you. Father, Jezebel was trampled for that reason. There was a trampling that had to occur because principalities, powers have to be trampled, Father God, by your word, by the power that we have access through your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Mm. And Father, we just pray, Lord, Father God, that you would fill us and you would fill those watching with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name for what's going on with these appointments, Father God. Lord, that you would be welcomed into your proper place in this incoming administration, Father God. Lord, that the principalities and powers and spirits of lawlessness and seducing spirits and persecution that have gone forth, Father God, the spiritual strategy is what defeats them. Partnering with a strategy, Father God, in the political arena. It's the spiritual strategy that defeats what is behind a party, that defeats what is behind a candidate. And Father, we thank you that those spiritual strategies, Father God, are going to enter in this time of transition and in this time of bumpiness, Father God, as a hard adjustment is made, Lord. We just thank you for that, Father God. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we bring these Senate races before you, Father. Lord, you are the God of truth, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you shine a spotlight of truth down to the hallows of what has been happening and the deals that have already been made in order for the presidency to be taken, Father God. Expose the deals that were made. Expose deals that are even being made now by those in the Senate and Congress who may be saying one thing to the people, but behind closed doors are still looking to sell the people out. And Father, in Jesus' name, we call forth it be brought to the light in this time and in this hour, Father God, that everywhere they have attempted to hide and plot and make a conspiracy grow yes. strong, that in this time, Lord, you will root it out, tear it up, expose it, and dismantle it before this nation, for the people in this nation to know that you alone are God, there is no other, that yes. you alone bring these victories, that you alone are unprecedented, that you alone are holy and perfect in all of your ways, and that you alone are gutting down yes, to the yes, very core yes. what is happening in this government, what is happening in the church, Father God, that this is going to be a sweep and a purge and a spring yes. cleaning that is coming to the government of the United States yes. of America early, a spring cleaning that is coming to the church, because you are a God of law and order. Yes. You are a God that helped set the founding documents of this nation to provide law and order to the people. And they have attempted to crumple that up, and they have attempted to nullify it and cause chaos within the nation. Father, let that spirit of chaos in this time be judged as the spirit, persecuting spirit has gone forth right now. Let that spirit of chaos be judged and be put back in the chains. Yes, Lord. That it so came from in the name of Jesus Christ, yes, Father God. And Lord, we just ask you for your boldness in this time, Father God, yes, that the ability to discern, that the ability to hear your voice, know your voice, and as strangers we will not follow, that the ability, Father God, to see from your perspective what is happening coming in the nation, that would be increased, that a double portion would fall upon those, Lord, you have appointed for this, that this would be an Elisha moment.
Yes,
Lord.
For God. The prophetic, Father, that those who hold the office, those that you have called, those you have appointed, Father God, that because it is 5785, that double would fall, Father God, and double would fall on your people to be equipped beyond measure, Father God, in order to endure and run in excellence the the race that is set before us, the task that you have set before us, and to battle strategically, Father God, the forces of darkness that are attempting to subdue us. Yes. And we thank you, Father. We praise you. We give you all the glory for who you are. There is none like you. You are the Aleph. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the ending. Yes. You are the first and the last. You are he who liveth and died. You sit on the highest throne of righteousness. It is scrolls of judgment and recompense and mercy and restoration in this hour that have gone forth from your throne into the areas of the earth. And we praise you. Those scrolls are being opened, Father God, at the turn of our new year, Father. Many of these scrolls that have yet to be opened will be opened before this nation and before the earth, Father God. And the leaders of the earth will tremble as such are open because the changing of the guard has been triggered from America and is going forth into the earth in this hour. And many seats of leadership in the nations will change because of this. Yes. And we praise you, Father God. We praise you, Father God, for your mercy. We also praise you for your righteous rulings, Father God, that when the cup of iniquity becomes full, you indeed pour it out in the nations, Lord. And we give you all the glory, Father God. We ask you bless John and Donay as they go forth, Father God, in the assignments you have given them, Father God, Lord. Strengthen them, Father God. Put your armor on them according to Ephesians 6, Father God, and fill them, Father God. Fill them to the brim, Lord, with what you need them to know, what you want them to see. Father God, just fill them in this hour, Lord. We thank you. We give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Amanda, I love when you pray. That is so, that was so powerful. I could feel the prophetic unctions coming through as well. And I got to say, the future is bright. And we as the people of God need to keep our foot on the gas, keep in prayer, keep gathering together, encourage each other, and keep doing what God has called us to do. This is our time to occupy until he returns. Don't give up. Don't give up ground. This is our time to make a difference and to reach the lost for Jesus. And Amanda and Donay, thank you so much for taking the time to join with us today and to share your insights into the prophetic and what has been happening in our country. Thank you and God bless.